Take your Bible, if you would, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 18. Genesis, chapter number 18. I'm going to take one verse of scripture this morning. Today's Father's Day, so it shouldn't come as a surprise to you. I'm going to preach on fathers. I'm going to preach on the father Abraham, and I hope today it'll be a blessing and encouragement. Now, when we go to the Bible, we're confronted with many poor examples of fathers in the Bible. In fact, sometimes through the 40-something years I've pastored, I've not preached on the good fathers, I've preached on the bad fathers. Not that I was trying to promote what they were doing, but I was trying to warn you of the dangerous way of the way they were doing in order that we might not do that. But yet today we think of such men as Ahab in 1 Kings chapter number 22. We think of the men of Israel and how they lived and the things they did. And so there's many that give us living proof that there are bad fathers. I believe in the day we live in, we don't have to look very far to find there's a lot of bad fathers in the world today. Again, here, not thinking of anybody in particular or trying to single out, but I'm just saying today, with society the way it is, we need fathers that are willing to be what they need to be for the glory of the Lord and for the sake of their children. I want to take a look today at the life of Abraham, and I want to show you the glowing assessments, I believe, is why God would call him and consider him a wonderful father. A wonderful father, and the characteristics that would be given there. I want to say, first of all, that I thank the Lord for my daddy, and I'm grateful for it. But this, I believe, is God's idea of what a wonderful father really is as we look in the Scripture today. If you have your Bibles, verse number 19 of chapter number 18. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children in his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Our Father, Lord, I thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege I have to come together today and, Lord, once again, open the Word of God. Lord, I realize today there's a lot of things that will be said this morning that ought to help us and encourage us and strengthen us to be better fathers in the days ahead. But Lord, we do thank you for the guidance that you've given through the years. We thank you, Lord, for men of God that love you, men of God that serve you, men of God that are faithful to the house of God. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Somebody said this, remember when men were men? Remember when men knew who they were? Liked how they were and didn't want anything else but what they were. Seems like much of that's changed today, and the qualities that define, I believe, God's idea of a good man. I want to begin by saying, first of all, I thank the Lord for a dad that I believe set forth many of the examples that we'll see today. I'm preaching on Abraham, but my dad was a good man. My dad was a godly man. My dad raised us up in church. I can't ever remember not being in church, not to say we didn't miss from time to time, but on a regular basis, unless we were sick or out of town, we were in the house of God. My mother and daddy was faithful to God in serving him. My daddy served as deacon. He served as Sunday school superintendent and did many of the aspects of the job. Even when I was not so much persuaded to be doing that, my dad was there. In fact, it's hard being in Sunday school when your dad is a Sunday school superintendent. He's only a few doors down, and many times they called him. And when they called him, it was bad news for me. But I'm grateful for my dad that loved the Lord, and I can say through the years, not being a perfect man, but me being a man that loved the Lord, he remained faithful unto the Lord all the days of his life that I can remember, and I'm grateful for that wonderful example that I have. I want to share with you today, thinking in the life of Abraham, what is God's idea of the man of God, the man that is serving God? First of all, I believe it's a man that follows God's plan. I tell you today, this is God's plan. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we come to the point in understanding that as we follow it and we're obedient to it, that we realize what God is doing and what He's saying. You see, God's call on the life of Abraham. We find on the life of Abraham, he was called at the age of 75. I still got 3 years to go before God has something else for me, I guess. But he was called to leave behind his home, his family, his friends, and set out for God. Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going, but he went out because God told him to. I want to tell you today, the greatest advice you can get is just get God's advice and do what God would have you to do. You can never go wrong following God's plan. Abraham went on to be called the father of a great nation in Genesis 12 and verse 2. And Abraham answered the call. Friend, when I talk about call this morning, I understand every father this morning is not called to preach. It may be pastor or even be a preacher of the Word of God. But I believe every Christian father is called to be exactly that. A Christian father that allows God's plan to work in his life in order that he might see what God is doing there. There's no greater blessing than for his children to be surrounded by somebody that had God's call upon their life. I tell you today, I don't regret by any means the fact of my dad being who he was even when I was not what I ought to have been. But I'm thankful today that he remained faithful in spite of the way I did. And I want to say today that honestly, I don't believe I'd be standing here this morning had it not been for a mom and dad that loved me, prayed for me, and encouraged me even when I was going the wrong way. And yet today, I believe that all these years that I've been able to preach the Word of God, I give God the glory and God the credit. But my parents had a great influence upon my life. Any father, the first thing that he must be sure of is that he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, today it's of no value. We can walk out of here today and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. But before you say that, be sure that there's been a time in your life when you've personally confessed your sin, you've cried out to God, asked him to come into your heart and save you, and in doing that, he does save you because he said he would. And when he saves you, you become his child. I believe every child deserves a father that has been born again. I realize today that the Bible teaches that not all fathers are born again. I realize today we live in a world today that many people are going the opposite direction of the way God is. In fact, the trend is, and if you look at it, I'm telling you, the trend of our day is going with the rest of the world. People are going away from God rather than coming to God. And I tell you today, if our generations in the future are going to be what they need to be, fathers need to rise up. Fathers need to realize the seriousness. Fathers need to understand the responsibility because a saved father can give them the foundation that they need. I was saved at an early age, 10 years of age. You said, my, that's mighty young. It was mighty young, but listen, when you go to church every Sunday and you hear the Sunday school teacher, the junior church worker, and all the ones that perhaps are working to get you here, when you hear them talking about salvation, it makes you realize that you want to spend eternity in heaven. I'm glad to know today that one day I will spend eternity in heaven with my mom and dad. What excitement that is, knowing that they were saved and born again. So salvation, it's not just for women. It's not just for children. It's not just for preachers. Salvation is for all sinners because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I guess the greatest responsibility that I've ever felt was the day that my wife gave birth to our oldest son. I remember looking through the window and thinking about him. He was a very large child. He was 10 pounds, and it was not long. I mean, the day, I think he was first day in the nursery, he was turning his head over and looking in other directions, and I, being the proud father that I was, I stood by the window and encouraged people to look at my son over in the corner when he turned his head. But something struck me that day. I realized that God had entrusted into my life and into my hands a human being that I was going to be responsible for in raising them and teaching them the truth of the Word of God. I'm grateful later on when God sent us another one. We had two. But I'm going to tell you, there's no greater responsibility than to have the responsibility of raising your children and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in order that they might know God and that they may serve God. We're responsible for training our children in the way that God would have us to. We're to teach them about Jesus. I went the other day, I was going somewhere to eat. I won't tell you where, but I was going somewhere to eat. I walked in, and there was a young man there. And he said, are you a preacher? And I said, I am. He said, do you know Jesus? And I said, I sure do. And I'm glad you asked me, do you know Jesus? And he said, I do. I think he was 11 or 12 years old. And actually, his granddaddy was in there, and he put him up to it. But that's okay. I was grateful that he at least had the nerve to come and ask me. And you say, and here's what I said. It's wonderful to be a preacher, but that doesn't mean just because you're a preacher, you're going to heaven. Friend, you're not going to heaven unless you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I told him that, I said, well, all preachers may not be saved. And he looked at me funny, and I said, well, the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have a responsibility to train our children in the way of God. Thank God for the women of our church. I cannot go past that with saying that behind every good father is a good wife and one that stands behind him and encourages him and helps strengthen him with the responsibilities he has. But you know, today I was thinking as the men stood a while ago, I don't know if we got a count. We used to do, and I didn't ask nobody to. I don't know how many fathers we have, and that's okay. But I promise you, we had more mothers on Mother's Day than we had more fathers on Father's Day. Now, I'm grateful for every father we have. But it's really a shame today that we don't have more men, more fathers that are setting the example of leading their children in the right way. Friend, I promise you, whatever you do is what your children are going to do. You are producing or reproducing in their life the way you respond to them and what you teach them. I want you to know today that many times our children are watching us in every area of our life. Dads, men, you're leading your children who are looking to you for the right way. They're looking to you for the right way. Sometimes it's hard to keep them on track. Sometimes it's hard to get the fulfillment that you need out of them. And again, many times they still may go astray. But I tell you, by the grace of God today, every dad ought to want to feel confident that they've done their very best in raising their children up to love God, to serve God, and be faithful to God. He's also God's idea of a God, or wonderful man, is a man enjoying God's praise. You see, Abraham was a man who enjoyed the great and abundant blessings of God. I don't know about you, I enjoy the blessings of God, don't you? I tell you what, somebody said, you know, by the way, God blessed Abraham in so many ways. First of all, he was the father of Israel, which came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed him with a land called Canaan, which became his and his descendants forever. He blessed him with a son named Isaac, whom Abraham passed along the blessings of the Lord. The Bible said in Genesis 25:5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. That one verse tells it all. He received from the Lord the blessings of God, and he passed them on to his children, or at least to Isaac and his children, in order that the next generation might be blessed, even as their father Abraham was. Would to God today that every child was born to be blessed by his father and the godly men all around him. You see, today what happens at your house is controlled by you. If you get blessings from God, it'll be because you sought the blessings of God, you walked in the will of God, and you determined to serve God with all your heart and all your soul. If you don't, then understand the blessings may not come. Oftentimes I've heard people say, well, God blessed them, but he hadn't blessed me. Friend, I just say this, God blesses those who walk in his plan. God blesses those that obey his word. God blesses those that seek his will and do what he would have them to do as they walk through this life. What a parent hands down, it's returned in his children. It's like a mirror. You look in the mirror, many times we'll see our children sometimes reflecting many ways like we are. If we invest in the blessings of God, you'll receive the blessings in return. If the world you choose to invest, then there'll be heartache, there'll be problems. God's kind of dad makes the right investments in their children's lives. Remember I said the biggest responsibility we had? God's given us, the Bible said, children are a heritage of the Lord. God has invested them into our hand. And I understand they grow up, and I understand they move away, and I understand they set their own lives. But I tell you today, My days have passed of raising children, and I'm grateful for my grandchildren and the way they're being raised and the fact that I can have maybe a little bit of an influence and an impact on them. But my days of raising children are pretty much past. But I tell you today, if you've got young children, you better take into consideration the importance of training them in the way that they need to go. A Presbyterian minister in Goldsboro, North Carolina, enlisted in the Navy during World War II, a Japanese kamikaze plane hit his ship during a sea battle. The man's name was Neil Scott. He was mortally wounded. As he lay dying, he said, "Mates, keep those guns firing." Then he penned a letter to his parents that said, To have had you and mother for these 24 years have been all I could ask for in this world." What a tribute that is to his mom and dad. Somebody told me this morning that somebody had wrote something about them. Their son had wrote something about them on I believe, Facebook or something. Friend, I tell you, when your children, you know, I'm getting over on the mother's side right now, but the Bible said of mothers, you rise up and call them blessed. If you've got a good father, you'll be thankful for him too, and you'll be grateful for what he does and what he's doing in your life. I want to be, and I'm thankful today for my mom and dad. I miss them. Boy, if you've got yours living with you, not living with you, but if you've got them living, you need to love them while you can, because the day comes when you'll not be able to have a good mother and a good father that'll train you in the way that you need to go. A man that God sees as a wonderful Christian or one that loves the Lord is a man with a gracious personality. Now, the incident which occurred between the herdsmen of Abraham and those of Lot, if you remember in Genesis 13, they were going to split up because they had so many cattle and had so many people, they decided to split up. Abraham was the father, Abraham was the leader of the group. But in his graciousness, he turned to Lot. "You choose where you want to go." Unfortunately, Lot made some bad choices, but yet Abraham was generous, giving him the first choice. You know, so many people today, all they're concerned about is self. We need to be teaching our children that they don't need to be concerned about self as much as they need to be concerned about others. We need to think about others and the way they live and the things they do. You see, in chapter 21 of Genesis, there was a conflict between Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael. And again, what does Abraham do? He expresses a gracious spirit in spite of the difficult circumstances. He sought to be kind and generous to those who are involved. And you can read that in Genesis 21:14. And I believe today that all of us as godly men, if we're living to try to serve God, we need to be gracious in every area of our life. It's not all about us. Some people today think it's all about them. Friend, it's all about God. And it's going to make a difference in our life when we promote Him and exalt Him and magnify Him in every possible way we can, that they may see Christ in our life. I'd like for my children to remember me as being a gracious person, seeing the me maybe perhaps help somebody that has need. And I believe today we need to set the example any possible way we can. Have you ever heard the saying, "My daddy or my mother would have given you the shirt off their back"? You know what they're saying? They're saying, "My mother or my dad, they were so giving and so gracious and so kind. Even if they didn't have another, they would make do in order to give you what they had." Oh, what an impact. What a statement to even be able to say that. And many of us could say that about our parents along the way. I believe today we need to be patient with our children. We need to be kind and gracious to them. I think they need to be disciplined. My daddy believed in the belt or the rod or whatever you want to call it, and I guess it worked pretty good. It hurt a lot, but it worked pretty good. But you know, today, rather than treating our children in anger, we'll get a lot further treating them in love, but giving them the right way and the proper perspective. I would like for my children to remember that I was kind, gracious, and generous, and loving. And I don't want to have any regrets about that, but I want them to see that I care about people and I care about them. What's so scary today is for children to retain so much of their parents' personalities and characteristics. I see many qualities of my dad and me. In fact, some folks, I guess not generally, but in some ways, they say I remind them of him. We pretty much kind of had the same voice or a little bit of the same voice. He had gray hair, and I've had gray hair now for a long time, and so that's attributed to me. But I tell you, it's not the gray hair and the voice that I want to care about or that I care about setting forth, although I'm grateful for that. But I want to set the example that my dad set. And the people to know, and by the way, my dad was a gracious man. He was in heat and air conditioning. And I tell you what, it was kind of like the cobbler that never fixed the family shoes. Daddy would get around to us later, but he was always, when he'd get off in the afternoon, he was going to somebody's house to fix the air conditioner, fix the refrigerator. And many times he would not even charge. And yet he did that because he wanted to help people. I'm grateful today that we need to understand as much as we possibly can what kind of man or father that God thinks is wonderful. He's a man of prayer. Abraham was a man of prayer. This is seen every time he moved. Every time Abraham moved, when he got where he was going, the first thing he did was erect an altar. Boy, I tell you what, the family altar is the most important thing that's missing in our homes today. Some fathers never mention God. They never go to the house of God. We need to be faithful to going to church and hearing God's word, but we need to be establishing an altar in our home where we meet God and our children see that we meet God on a regular basis. He prayed about God's promise of a son. In Genesis 15, 1 through 6, we know that he had a son in old age, and I know that was a difficult thing, but he prayed about it because God said it would happen. He prayed for the welfare of Ishmael. You remember the story of Ishmael? Not going to get into it today for sake of time, but wouldn't it be wonderful today for us to know that our father was praying for us? I said earlier, I believe I'm here because my mom and dad prayed for me. I do believe that. And I believe today that our children will be what they need to be based on our prayers to God and our setting the example that God would have in their life. No greater blessing than to know that your father is praying for you. When I was away from the Lord, I've told you the story. I'm not going to go in detail, but I tell you what, my daddy, I moved out of the house. I was trying to run. I moved out of the house, but quite often, daddy knew where I lived. And I'd hear a knock at the door. And he'd be there with the preacher most of the time. And I tell you what, I used to think, man, I wish he'd leave me alone. But I'm glad he never left me alone. He just kept on coming. And God started working. Well, God didn't start working. God never quit working. But thank God I started to listen. And God got a hold of my heart and changed my life. What a blessing. My father prayed. Somebody penned this poem. It's called A Father's Prayer. Dear God, my little boy of three has said his nightly prayer to thee. Before his eyes were closed in sleep, he asked that thou his soul would keep. And I, still kneeling at his bed, my hand upon his tousled head, do ask with deep humility that thou, dear Lord, remember me. Make me kind, Lord, a worthy dad, that I may lead this little lad in pathways ever fair and bright, that I may keep his steps aright. O God, his trust may never be destroyed or even marred by me. So for the simple things he prayed, with a childish voice so unafraid, I trembling ask the same from thee. Dear Lord, kind Lord, remember me. A great prayer for a father, even as a, you know, it's wonderful to hear little children pray so innocently, but they pray so freely and so regularly. And then lastly, we come to the point of seeing a man of great persuasion. Of all Abraham's accomplishments and achievements, his faith stands out above it all. Not take time to go there, but over in the book of Hebrews, the writer stressed so many times and so much about Abraham's faith. The Bible said in Genesis 15, 6, and by the way, this was the important faith that he had. The Bible said in Genesis 15, 6, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Although Jesus Christ had not died on the cross, he was looking ahead, but the fact is he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to get saved today, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that we have faith in God, and we have the persuasion to persuade our children, to persuade those around about us that they may see Christ in our life. I believe every child deserves a saved dad in his life. Every child desires and deserves, I believe, a father who is saved by grace. The child of a God-fearing father, listen, the child of a God-fearing father doesn't have to fear abuse, mistreatment, or neglect. Because when you fear God, you can be assured of his love, his kindness, and acceptance. And I believe today every child has the right. I hear things happening in the news, and it just baffles me. I read this week, saw in the news somewhere, a man literally drowned his three children. I cannot imagine that. He's a wicked, wicked person that does that. And friend, accept God work in the hearts and lives of men and put us in the place that we need to be. We're going to continue to go like a downward spiral away from the things that God has for us. We need to look in our hearts today. I wonder this morning, are you saved, dads? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You say, well, I don't believe you can know that. Oh, there's plenty in the Bible that tells you can know it. He said these things have written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed against him to that day. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've done that, he saved you, give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. Friend, it's so simple. Some people say, well, it's so easy. I just think it's too easy. Friend, don't make something harder than it is. Jesus made it as easy as he could, although he's going to hold us accountable and going to hold us responsible for what we did with it. Is it any wonder that James chapter 2, verse number 23, called Abraham the friend of God? I wonder, men, have I reached that special stature of this great man? Men in our day could be more like him because he had possessed the qualities that he possessed if we'd only allow the Lord to have his way, his work, and his will in our life. I want you to know this morning, Abraham was a friend of God. And friend, I tell you today, I'm glad my dad was a friend of God. And I hope today all the dads here are a friend of God. But if you're not, you need to work on it. To become the friend of God in order that you may have the proper influence upon your children around about us. I realize sometimes things don't always work out the way we want them to work out, not always the way we expect them to work out. But friend, while we're raising our children, we must set the example and do what we know is right according to God's will.